Welcome back to another episode of Parallel Barking. Today we're going to talk about something.
Wait, introduce ourselves. You're really eager for this subject. I know.
I'm so eager.
Well, let me souffle on you. That's a foreshadowing. But let's introduce ourselves.
I am Ariana Backer, one of your co-hosts, Bark Bark.
Woof woof, I'm Larry Backer. And today we're going to talk about boom boom. Gwyneth Paltrow.
And her rectal insufflation.
Which took us about 5 minutes to pronounce, we think, sort of correctly.
I'm not quite sure.
Well, why don't you explain what it is?
Okay, I will. And I am not so sure either, but...
She is a thought leader.
She is quite the TikTok...
Yeah, but, you know, people will... are going to blow all over this. So what is rectal insufflation?
It is basically
rectal ozone insufflation, or rectal ozone therapy.
Okay, it is literally blowing ozone gas up your rectum.
Okay.
And it has been said, or she has said, that it is, quote, very helpful.
Right,
I don't know what that means.
Well, what's it supposed to do?
Although it is, as many concur, very unusual. It's supposed to be apparently a gastroenterologist.
Yeah, no. But it's said, a way.
Before
you get to the naysayers, let's look at it, because everyone is going to sit and go, oh my God, this sounds like it should be in some X-rated movie. And filmed rather than as something that's therapeutic, but it actually had there's an origin.
Okay,
and again,
so they're
not vouching for it, but it's supposed to fight viruses and inflammation.
Yeah, it's supposed to be therapeutic. Yeah. It's supposed to
speed healing, improve blood circulation, and not just in humans, but apparently there is a variation of this for your pets.
Yes. Right. And so, wouldn't they enjoy it? Who knows?
They will feel better. Remember, it's therapeutic. This is not supposed to be something other than for therapy. But it's actually quite interesting. So, and as we know, Ms. Paltrow, I think, has been at the forefront of experimenting with any number of new and non-medically sanctioned, that is, by the medical establishment and by big pharma, a number of therapies, and I don't know where she is on many of them, but generally speaking, she is among a group of people who tend to be fairly influential. I mean, they have their moment in the sun with a reporting of this in social media that has a very wide circulation. And, you know, while we can all snigger because for 2 minutes we can be 13 years old again, and we've said rectal and ozone in the same sentence,
yes.
And we can go, ha, 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 there's actually something interesting that's going on underneath this in a variety of different ways. And let me put this in context first. So, yeah, ha, 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 we don't know if it works. Certainly the doctors are looking down their very long noses and say, oh, my God, this is either nothing, or they're stealing your money, or it'll cause you harm, but we don't know because there's no data.
Yes, but what makes her other. What really was the impetus to make Gwyneth or anyone hang on to this solution?
Well, and this, I mean, she
in particular,
she wanted...
or any solution that hasn't been backed.
Ah, that's where we're going.
Why? Ooh, yeah. Why specifically?
Resistance. We have now come to believe, I think, there's a number of things going on. And one of them is, if you can look at this in a sense, and I'm not suggesting that she is or is not. Hers may be a purely personal quest, and she trusts the person who convinced her about this, and she trusted them enough to do it. And her own body tells her, or her mind tells her, that her body is telling her that it's certainly not negative and it may be positive. So let's put all of that aside. This is her and herself. But beyond that, there's something very interesting going on as well. For the last, probably since before the opioid crisis and the drug crisis before that, there has been a growing narrative. And it is one that I'm just going to speak to neutrally. We do another podcast on Big Pharma, but one that begins to view the pharma medical establishment with increasing suspicion. And you see this all over the place, not just in reporting about how the manipulations in terms of price and research, Big Pharma, Big Pharma's capturing of key governmental supervisory and approval sectors. Whether or not this is true, it doesn't matter. The narrative, the discourse is this, and then tying them to all kinds of, and this is where the rumor mill goes, that what could be a better industry than one where you both create the problem and then sell you the solution, and you do this in a set of endless cycles, or worse, an industry in which every magical pill, and there's a magical pill now for virtually everything, a pharma magical pill, eventually or to some extent, and again, there are no percentages, this is perception and discourse rather than numbers, the sense that the price that you pay for these magical pills is that you're basically hooked on them. You have to take them forever. So you have to take the and everything from the innocuous thing to keep your hair from falling out to what's it called? Anti-allergy, you know, for the springtime allergy medicines, to the ones that matter, the big ones. And so there's been this growing sense that in fact, pharma is perhaps the solution, but also part of the problem, and the trustworthiness of the industry and the trustworthiness of doctors because of their relationship either to the industry or to regulators who are in the thrall of the industry, so alleged, right?
And now, this was a problem during COVID-19, actually.
It was a huge problem during COVID. It was a huge problem before. COVID was just, it was an accelerator, because this thing has been brewing, right, since the night in its current form, since the 80s and 90s.
And nobody wanted to take the
And then COVID just blows this up. You know, the you know, there are all kinds of stories floating around, like, wow, why is it that it takes 20 years to do a vaccine? And all of a sudden we have this this manufactured virus.
It happens immediately.
And the virus and the vaccine. And it's not just one vaccine, but five vaccines. And now they're talking about having annual vaccines or perhaps semi-annual vaccine, you know, blah, blah. So there are all these stories. And again, we're not suggesting that the stories are right. We're not suggesting the stories are wrong. This is discourse.
This is
which is affecting popular perceptions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, people might be much more open to therapies that are beyond that. There's another thing. So part of it is resistance. Part of it is a notion that really had its, I think, in its modern form in the 60s. This predates the war of pharma. The notion that indeed one of the problems with modern Western medicine is its absolute reliance on chemistry. And that in the process of doing that, we're doing two things. One, we are stealing the medical knowledge, which was not done in the traditional language of biochemistry, but the folk wisdom of people. The notion that you're going to take a plant that a local indigenous population has been using for millennia, and all of a sudden you're going to patent it, and it becomes this wonder drug. And now the people who actually, you know, out of kindness said, oh yeah, I'll help you here, are get locked out, and they get no compensation for this. So there's one, this sense that that pharma and medicine and that combo have gotten away from roots that maybe they shouldn't. And then two, the notion that indeed in getting away from it, what we're doing is, and this is again a discursive line, we're doing more harm to our bodies than good, because what we're really pushing is not medicine. We're pushing biochemical experiments in which
we're pushing dependence on.
Exactly. And we should go back either to nature, or we should be more respectful of folk cultures and folk medicines, and maybe invest them with our own sensibilities for now, but not to run over them.
Different ideologies.
Right. Not to grind them up in the ideology of pharma and that kind of medication. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a little bit of that. So this is like this post-hippie, we don't we don't trust you. And now we have really good reason, at least discursively, not to trust you. Plus, it's disrespectful. Plus, we're forgetting all of the old knowledge that, yeah, sure, people only live to be 35, but there are all kinds of other things that were going on at the same time. But irrespective of that, some of these things may have salience today. And so you've got these two things, I think, that are working kind of together. So you've got the distrust, you've got this sense that we're becoming just agar plates or vials for biochemical experimentation that's lost its connection to the human. And then that is then overlaid with this notion of getting back to nature and getting back to our traditional roots. And everyone is indigenous somewhere, the indigeneity in Europe, in Latin America, in Asia, wherever. And then because it's a global culture where this the aggregation and the communication between these indigenous knowledge bases will produce something that may be good or marvelous or something else. And then there's a third thing that's going on. You see, you thought we were going to talk about Gwyneth Paltrow's rectum.
Yeah, I thought we were going to talk about beyond, the rectal delivery and how it may cause bloating and fatigue.
But this is where her rectal consequences come in. So we've got three so far. We've got yet another. It's amazing what you can do from something as simple as a rectal ozone insufflation, right? And the
it
last
really
one
makes me think of insufflé. Like a rectal souffle.
Well, you should, because there's, I mean, except you put one in the oven and you hope it doesn't collapse. And you put one and not in the oven, you also hope it doesn't
collapse. You hope it doesn't collapse.
But the last one, so I want to mention this as well. There's been an interesting set of, and social media is very good at building narratives, even if they have the lifespan of a mayfly, but you begin to see how they do this. And over the course of the last 6 to 9 months, there's been a noticeable surge in articles about how people are effectively doing either folk remedies or remedies from kinesiology, from, you know, moving your body or from changing your diet. And all of them having this mass therapeutic effect. So there's one article about some person, and of course they're all tied to a high status institution, none of whom I will mention on this podcast.
Oh, you're so kind.
A high status institution, and that all of a sudden they the six things this person did, his body has now regenerated, and he's gained 10 years, or the endless stories about the Mediterranean diet. Now the latest one is that Mediterranean diet is statistically significant in a positive way in either preventing or slowing dementia, or the ones that say we can make your skin look beautiful. So we've moved from Ozempic and but which is, you know, again, this is the other side of the pharma thing. So we're on a pharma risk.
These are all anecdotes, and anecdotes have always been extremely powerful tools.
Yes, in making discourse that then shapes the people's perception and the way in which they judge everything else, including whatever benefit there actually is in pharma, in the pharma medical complex.
Right, and pushing whatever products they want to sell and make money off of. And
so you've got all of these things going on, and normally I would be more sympathetic, but this is a hell pit that pharma built with its relationships to the administrative apparatus of states, with the way in which it's forged its somewhat interesting, I'm going to use a neutral term, interesting relationships with the medical establishment and hospitals. They built this thing brick by brick. And so it's no surprise that you see these things, and then people run around and either make fun of Ms. Paltrow, which I think is unfair. She is reacting in a way that's not irrational, given the stances and the history that we've seen coming out of the pharma medical complex. And you get these things, and sometimes they're going to result in terrible tragedies. But then you have to ask yourself, well, you know, There are tragedies all around, and what we seem to be getting at every level is a poison chalice, not poisoned enough to kill us, but poisoned enough to make us dependent. And that's ultimately the problem. And that's where I'm going to blow my last souffle here. And that what you're looking at in all of these contexts, whether you're looking at AI, whether you're looking at any of these relational contexts, and pharma is no difference, is a marker of the first third of this century, which is this extraordinary impulse for the cultivation of dependency among people and groups. That what the way that we are ordering our social relations in this first third of the 21st century is through these modalities of dependence, either dependence on drugs, dependence on someone who will digest abstraction, dependence on someone who will take care of you, a dependency of that will eventually leave you in a completely passive position, so that you must rely on something for everything.
I will move to say that I will even go beyond that and say, beyond just dependency, we're also moving toward a regime, I guess, of validation. This is like,
yes,
opening,
yes,
and making us dependent on validation, the need for validation from.
Right. And I know how I get my validation. I take my OxyContin.
Yes.
Or I go to my ozone dispensing machine.
Or tell everyone about how many other ways and other places you can apply the ozone, you know, through your ears or your nose or
or to your dog.
And how that, wonderful it works that way.
Or that you're now doing the Mediterranean diet or something. So there is a social interactive aspect to this, and you're absolutely right to point it out. And again, we do not appear to have escaped the age of the therapeutic, which started about a century ago, when people realized the power of Freudian thought, even if they disagreed or they quibbled with the details, the idea of a management that's centered on the self, and that can be in which people can be managed by controlling the loops in which they're constantly self-pleasuring in every possible imaginable way.
I have no problem with. Humanists.
Yeah, as long as you're not the one who's doing it, and you're the one who's controlling the outcome of this, both on an individual and a collective basis. But that's the problem, because at the end of the day, I grew up thinking that the way our social relations were supposed to be set up was to enhance the ability of thoughtful, autonomous individualism that is protected to the greatest extent possible without causing significant social harm. And even there are exceptions when the harm may be in the service of important social transformations, but we seem to be moving from that model, and very quickly.
Yeah, I would
assuming
agree.
The model was operative to a significant extent beyond small groups of people to begin with.
I think we're moving very, very, very far away from the autonomous individualistic model.
Right. And then, just as a tease for our future podcast, we're going to talk about the whether or not free will actually exists.
Oh, wow. That's going to be very heady.
I'm going to vote no.
Oh my. Oh, we'll have to hear about that.
No, stay tuned. All right. So that's all I've got. Woof, woof.
Bark, bark. Thanks, everyone, for taking the time to listen. And we'll catch you next time.
And thank you, Ms. Paltrow, for providing the visual props.
And perhaps the fodder.
On the other hand, you're also doing something really interesting, because you're helping us think through things that, and something that looks bizarre perhaps on quick reading, actually provides us with significant insights, whether or not this therapy works. But anyway, so thank you.
Yes.
Woof, woof.
Fractal ozone therapy provides us with deep insight.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
You're 14 years old. I knew it.
Yay!
All right. All right, listeners. Woof, woof.
Thanks, everyone. Bark, bark.